know about you, church, but isn't it good to know that we have a God, we serve a God that will be with us all the way, no matter what we're going through. Our God will be with us all the way. Oh, Lord. As I was sitting at my seat, sitting next to a very sweet and calm spirit, I just want to borrow a little sample from the first verse of Vicky Yohe's song. I wish I could sing, but I can't. Those who know me know I love to dance, but I also love to praise the Lord. It just simply says, your presence, Lord, amazes me. Your glory surrounds me. When I walked into this place of worship, I felt his loving arms and his hands upon me. Just to think of how great our God is, that he would look down upon someone and touch and use someone like me. Is nothing but his mercy and his grace. Lord, you amaze me. You simply, Lord, you amaze me. First, giving honor to my Lord and Savior, who is the head of my life. To Pastor Hodge, I thank you for this speaking opportunity. I'm truly humbled. To the preachers who share in delivering the good news of the gospel, to the officers of this great church, to my beautiful First Lady, Sister Monique Hodge, and the entire women's ministry of Regular Baptist Church, to my most immediate family, Reverend Johnson, I love you, and I thank you for your support, your endless prayers. Thanks for putting up with me. I know we both got a little thinner through this process. I thank God for my Boaz. I thank God for allowing me to spiritually glean in the right field. To my beautiful daughter, our daughter, Janae, often her dad gives her a shout out. He says a father couldn't be more proud. But I echo those sentiments. I am so proud of you, Janae. To my extended family, to friends, co-workers who have taken time out of their busy schedule to encourage me to be here today, I am truly humble and I am so grateful. To the rest of, I already acknowledged the women, but to the rest of the men of Regular Baptist Church, and visitors alike, I thank you so much. Now I'm gonna do something that may sound a little familiar, but I promise you ladies, I will not give you an aerobics workout. I'm just gonna ask if all the ladies today, please stand. And what I would like for you to do is to embrace the sister to your immediate left and right, encourage her in the Lord, tell her you love her. Tell her no matter what she's going through, that our God has got it. Ask her to pray for you, and you pray for her. Now look, Sister Monique, Sister Hodge, don't forget me now. I'm up here. I want some love. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. People of God, contrary to what some may say or think, in that the church is a social gathering. It is not, but instead a fellowship for spiritual development and growth, a fellowship with a divine purpose and a heavenly goal. I love it how when Paul says in Philippians 3 and 14, he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to make it a little more personal. You see, pressing for me is reaching toward my final destination. Church, do you have a home beyond this place? One made not by man's hands. Are you pressing? See, I don't know about you, but when I went to bed last night, my mind was pressed on Jesus. When I woke up, my mind was pressed on Jesus. When I stirred about and looking out at the crowd, I know we ladies, we took our time, we got ourselves together. I still pressed towards Jesus. And as I entered into his gates with thanksgiving, I'm still pressing towards Jesus. As I entered even closer into his courts, I'm pressing towards Jesus. And now, as I stand in humble submission before God's people, I'm pressing even more steadfast on my Jesus. Dear gracious and eternal Master, the giver and sustainer of all life, Lord, I stand before you to be used as your woman servant. I stand before you, Lord, as an empty pitcher. Fill me wholly, Lord, with your spirit. I pray, Lord, that as I decrease, you will increase. Even though your people will hear my words, I pray, Lord, that it is your spirit that is glorified, working in and through me. I pray for every family assembled here today. I pray thy blessings upon my family. I thank you, Lord, that the glory of your train is filling this place. Use me, Lord. Use your people. Help me, Lord, complete the assignment that is set before me. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. It is in Jesus the Christ's name I pray. Amen. The theme for today, women of God empowered to serve. Bear with me. I'm a little nervous. But with your prayers and my faith, I know he's going to get me through. Our theme was chosen from that 37th Psalm, 4th verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. As I prayed, meditated, labored, prayed, exhausted, prayed some more, say, Lord, please strengthen me. Show me what you would have me to say to your women this day. He took me to the 143rd Psalm, and I asked if you please would turn to that Psalm. When you have it, kindly say amen. In that Psalm, it says, as I will read to your listening ear, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Thank you. You may be seated. For a moment of your time, and I promise I shouldn't be before you long, but I dare not quench the Holy Spirit, and I will let him have his way. I want to add to our theme for today, Women of God Empowered to Serve. And it's going to be a theme that poses a question. Am I a woman God can use for his glory? My sisters, the world can bombard us with new and exciting opportunities on a daily basis, promising much but delivering nothing, leaving us with an unquenchable desire for more. You know, we want more this, we want more that. We just gotta have it, and we gotta have that. Never truly satisfied. We want a bigger house, a new car, increased finances, even a new look, a new job, more accessories, purses, clothes, shoes, hats. The list is endless. Now, my sisters, please don't get me wrong. Sister Johnson, too, desires the best. For after all, our God owns cattle on a thousand hills. He further declares in his word that all the silver and the gold belongs to him. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that if I ask in faith, I'm going to receive it by grace. Can I further encourage you, my sisters? Because, see, I have to remind myself when I'm going to get all that stuff that we like. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things, all this stuff that we like, all this stuff that we like to adorn ourselves in. He promised he's going to give it to us. But what I like even more is he not only gives us material things, he gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us the gift of discernment to know who's speaking in our ear, who's leading us, who's talking to us. I love that because we need that. There's too much coming at us on a daily basis. We need discernment. And not only that, I love it, and when our pastor often says it, with the power that lies in the tongue. See, again, I'm crazy enough to believe that if I speak it through my faith, it's mine. No devil in hell can take it from me. Because what's for me, it's for me. And what's for you, it's for you. Ooh, I love it. And he goes on with all these spiritual gifts. The power of the touch. We can lay hands on ourselves. We can lay hands on our family, on our children. We can lay hands on any dead situation in our lives and watch the life come back, the restoration. Watch what God does through our faith. Because without faith, it's simply impossible. It's impossible to please him, and it's impossible to do anything without God. Again, ladies, we are bombarded. We are often distracted and may even become quite fascinated with false images of beauty, wealth, happiness, strength, false truths, and even false appearances of holiness. God's word is clear in that we are warned and even admonished not to be tossed to and fro. We are not to be driven by the ocean's currents, when we run after every new thing, Sister Baptiste touched on that yesterday. Y'all, we're not grounded. We are not stable. We should not be pulled in every direction. We should not desire everything that we see and we like. We need to ask God, is that or is he good for me? Our faith in Jesus has to be the foundation which holds us down when we're tempted. Temptation is going to be set before us. And when the storms of life come a-raging, when the winds come and the rain falls, although we may be shaken, even to the point of bending, we may even be on the verge of brokenness, in danger of losing everything that God has blessed us to have. Relationships, good marriages, beautiful homes, wonderful children, even not so wonderful children. It's all a blessing. Good health, finances, our very own peace of mind, and I dare to say even our strength. As a woman of God, we must hold firm. We must keep a grip to the godly truths on which we have been taught and to our faith in the Almighty God, declaring, like our brother Job, though he and sometimes she slay me, yet will I trust him. Jesus Christ, he is the rock. Hear me clearly. He is not a rock. He is the rock. He is our hope and our strength. Though life changes, God never changes. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Family and friends may leave, but God has promised to never forsake nor leave us. People, circumstances can, and trust me, they will disappoint, but Jesus remains a faithful companion. My sisters, whether you're in a storm, been through a storm, or a storm is heading your way, I encourage you to let your roots be wrapped around the life-giving and the life-sustaining person of Jesus. And you, trust me, you will be strengthened beyond earthly measures. Now going back to our subject scripture. I'm a little old school. When I speak, I believe in asking God for revelation. When I pray, I ask for revelation. When I study his word, I ask for revelation. And my God has given me three principles which he has revealed to me to share with my sisters and my brothers today. And this is to help each of us take an inventory of our lives, especially a self-examination of our hearts. And sisters, again, answer the question, am I a woman God can use for his glory? In the first part of the scripture, it reads, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Immediately, I see a due diligence to be obedient. Ephesians 2 and 10 teaches, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in truth. In the scriptures, beginning in Genesis, around that 18th chapter, you'll find a lady named Sarah. Deborah didn't initially trust God's plan. For her ability in her old age to conceive a child. But in spite of herself, she moved herself out of the way and she remained obedient. And God blessed not only her barren situation, but her barren womb. And she brought forth a male son named Isaac, who became the firstborn of God's promised nation. Obedient Sarah was a woman God used for his glory. Not only does the scripture reveal that we must be obedient in order to be a woman God can use for his glory, it also shows that we must have faith, which is found in the second part of the scripture, which reads, "Thy spirit is good." Y'all, that's a faith testament. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I have conversations and discussions with my sisters and brothers of the household of faith, like you, I'm sure, but I also have conversations with those who are not of the household of faith, you know, the body of believers. You know, the ones that are curious, the skeptics, the naysayers. And they often look at us, you know, the believers. They know we're going through. What is holding Sister Johnson together? What's keeping her family intact? Why is Sister Miami still praising God? At her age, I'm not saying anything against you because you're a beautiful spirit. But they expect us to be rocked over, sad, because they don't understand that we serve a true and a living God. And as I continue to ponder over my post conversations with those who are worldly, I find that by their standards, our faith is simply reduced to something those Christian folks believe in. I don't know what it is. It's something they believe in. But for the believer, we know our faith is rooted in something much more powerful and persuasive. For in Hebrews 1 and 11, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It's a faith thing. Mary Magdalene, recorded in the Gospel of Luke and Mark, was a faithful disciple and a follower of Christ. For she believed beyond a shadow of any doubt that Jesus was the key in receiving the crown of life and the only means by which we can enter into eternal glory. Even after Christ died, Mary Magdalene, faithful Mary, attended to him at his grave. She was the first to witness his resurrection. Mary, this faithful servant of God, she prepared Jesus' body before his death. She did not abandon Jesus at the crucifixion like so many of his other disciples, those who walked with him, those who bore witness to the many miracles that he performed. She didn't abandon her Lord. Again, this faithful Mary was the first to witness Jesus' resurrection. Jesus commissioned, in other words, he told her, "Go tell my disciples I have risen." Mary never lost hope and maintained her faith in the Messiah. Mary Magdalene was a woman of faith and a woman God used for his glory. So not only must we be obedient and have faith in order to be a woman God can use for his glory, but can I tell you, or better yet, can I show you? In the text, it's clear. The scriptures led me to this third and final point. And I want to lift this subject from the text. It's found in the last part of the verse. Lead me into the land of uprightness. This final passage reveals that in addition to being obedient, to being faithful, we must have a level of courage to be a woman God can use for his glory. My sisters, God never promised us that our lives would be easy. He never promised that everything will always work out the way we desire. You know, according to our plans, our intellect, our reasoning, our own strength. It doesn't work like that. Because in scripture, Jesus, he makes us quite a few promises. But to connect it with what I just said, Jesus promised in John 16:33 that in this world, you and I would have tribulations. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say possibly, maybe probably. He didn't say any of that. He was definite. He said, you and I would have tribulations. Now, I know that doesn't sound very encouraging, that first part of the scripture. I mean, after all, who wants to hurt? Who wants to cry? You know, who wants to be frustrated, vexed? Who wants to go through any of that? Who wants to be just sick and tired? Oh, but thanks be to God. The second part of the verse, I thank God for it because he says, he gives unto us a message of hope. But be ye of good cheer. In other words, be courageous, for our God has overcome the world. In the book of Esther, beginning in that second chapter, Esther provides a sterling example of courage. Esther was queen to king, and I'm going to take a shot at this, Ahasuerus. I know I'm probably wrong. Pastor Hodge, men of the gospel, please don't score me on that. But moving forward, because I tried, I broke it down in the syllabus, I even listened to it. But moving forward, ladies, we're just going to refer to him as the king. This particular king loved Esther more than any other woman. When Esther's cousin, Mordecai, informed her of the plot at the hands of Haman. He was second in charge to the king. He was the king's most trusted advisor. Haman, through deception, manipulation, arrogance, he went to the king, and he convinced the king to issue a decree giving him full authority to kill all the Jews and to seize all their property. This was an evil man. Y'all, this man wanted to wipe out the entire nation of Israel simply because of his own self-exaltation, his arrogance. He wanted to destroy God's people. But Esther, little beautiful Esther did something that back then it wasn't even heard of. You didn't even think about it, knowing the potential consequences. She summons the king. She went into his courts unannounced and uninvited. But because our Lord was with her, and the fact that this king, because I won't say his name again, this king loved her, so she was allowed to speak. God equipped Esther with great tact and skill to expose to the king Haman's true character and his sinful nature. I thank God for that, because I'm going to pause right there for a moment. Because when you think about it, how our God moves on our behalf, how our God says he will fight our battles for us, we don't have to do nothing but wait and pray. He will show up and show out on our behalf. He will expose those who spitefully try to use us. And simply, it's not because of how you look. You might think it's all about you, but it's not. You might think it's even about how eloquent you may speak. You may even think it's about the job you have. It's not. It's about the God Spirit that's working in you. As a result of this little woman's courageous act and exposing to the king Haman's true character, the king granted the Jews the right to defend themselves and to destroy their enemies, which included hanging old sinful, evil Haman. Esther risked her life to serve God and his people. And because of her courage, a whole nation of people were saved. Courageous Esther was a woman God used for his glory. My sisters and brothers, we know the Bible is full of ordinary people illustrating incredible acts of obedience, faith, and courage. Even among us today, in this fellowship with a divine purpose and a heavenly goal, there are many pearls in the pew. We are striving to live holy lives, forsaking the norm, putting those former things behind us. Although we may still dance, which people who know me know I love to dance, but now I have a new partner. And I thank God for that. We, peculiar people, we're striving daily to be co-heirs to a royal lineage, daily putting on the shield of faith, which is the very word of God, which helps guard our hearing, our speech, our thoughts, and even our actions towards one another. Many of us, although I'm standing here at this appointed time, I know as a child of God, you can't help yourself but evangelize and witness to the goodness of our Lord. We do it on our jobs. I don't know about you, but I find myself in the aisles of Walmart, Winn-Dixie, half an hour. Don't have number one item in my bag, basket. Because I take the time. I want to tell somebody about what God has done for me. And I know when Pastor first came, I don't know if he still is a member of a gym, but I could see our pastor working out in the gym. telling somebody about his Jesus, getting his work out on. And I'm sure, and I know, he did it with boldness and clarity. And he stands before us week in and week out, showing us it's okay. Be not afraid. Tell somebody about your Jesus. Tell somebody how he lifted you. Tell somebody, be it in your speech or the beautiful voices you have. I don't have it, but I tell somebody, and I encourage you, every one of my sisters, to keep telling somebody about the goodness of our Lord. Because somebody out there needs to hear it. Somebody needs to know. Somebody like you and I is still lost. Somebody needs to be grabbed by the hand. Somebody's faith is weakening. They need to be encouraged. They need to be lifted up. They need to be strengthened. And God may use you at that appointed time to be that light, that beacon of hope. And let me just say this. In our best efforts, you and I, in our best efforts to be obedient, to be faithful, and to be courageous, we can't even compare, not even remotely, to a man named Jesus. When I think about the ultimate illustration of obedience, faith, and courage, I think about Mary's baby, God's only begotten Son of the Father, Jesus, my Christ, your Christ, who the one who walked up a hill called Calvary, the one who took upon himself our judgment, our penalties. He was stretched wide. Nails were wedged in his hands and his feet. He was pierced in his side. He endured the pain, and he took on the shame of my sins and your sins. Woo, he died. I tell y'all, he died. He died for you, and he died for me. I thank him, Lord. But as happy as my spirit gets, I get even more happy when I can say with all assurances that my Savior and your Savior, who after being buried in a tomb, a borrowed tomb, may I add, for 3 days, he got up. He got up. He got up with all power in his hands. He got up with all power to rule from heaven and earth. He got up. I tell you, he got up denying. Woo, he denied grace, the death, the sting. He got up denying grace, victory. He got up. Woo, I tell you. He got up, woo, and the earth began to shake. He got up, woo, woo, Lord, he got up. He had all power to move every mountain. He got up, and he grabbed me up. He grabbed you up. He said, See, I'm going to finish this assignment. I am grateful to be used as a vessel for the Lord. And I know outwardly, I may look, you may look like we got it all together. We may even fool many people. But I thank God, He looks at the heart. Because you see, the heart, woo, is where our God can plant a seed of love, which will remove all malice, all envy, all strife, seal out lying tongues. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And we can begin to yield in our lives a great harvest, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, I don't know what you are going through. You don't know what I'm going through, but I dare you, try my Jesus. I dare you to walk in obedience. I dare you to have just a little faith. I dare you to have the courage to exercise Christian obedience along with your faith and declare, for God I live and for God I die, knowing with all certainty your end result, your heavenly goal. Again, ladies, I love you. We gotta do more. We have to do more. I'm gonna ask the question again. My sisters in the pew, my sisters in the balcony, my sisters ushering, my sisters in the choir stand. Sawn, Sister Sawn, ask yourself, are we women God can use for His glory? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We are, we must, we have to. It's not an option. We belong to Him. We
Thank you.